Want to greet each one again tonight in the name of Jesus. Thank you for those challenges, Brother Dave. Something that the human race does not need to learn, you get naturally, and that's make excuses. And God help us to fulfill His will in our lives, not make excuses when called. All right, tonight I'm going to direct the message towards the youth. And while I'll be directing it towards the youth, I think there's a lot of principles that we'll cover that is applicable to every walk of life. I'm going to be looking a lot at one of my favorite characters in the Bible, and that's going to be Joseph. And it's somewhat a character study of Joseph, but I've titled the message, Building Godly Character. So I guess if you're going to be taking notes anytime, this encourage you to do that tonight. And like I said, I think there's principles for each one of us here. Let's go through this. So if I have a theme for the message, I would say the theme of this message tonight is God is big enough and is powerful enough no matter what we face. We're going to jump here in Genesis 37. We're going to jump in to Joseph's life here and get some background information. And this is probably a very familiar story to each one of us, but I think it bears looking into and bears taking note of Joseph and the things that he went through and the faithfulness that shone through his life. Genesis 37, verses 1 through 4. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. I'd like to lay the framework here, and I would like to kind of point out some things. You know, a lot of times we think of Joseph, and you know, we think of, or at least I used to, kind of have this idea that, you know, he was perfect and he was raised in an ideal setting. But if you look into some of the things that went on in Joseph's early life, his home life was less than ideal. And it seemed like there was constant jealousy between Rachel and Leah for Jacob's affection. And as it says there in verse 4, that when their brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. So there was favoritism shown to Joseph. And obviously, I think we were smart enough to realize as parents that that never works in our homes, that showing favoritism is a recipe for disaster. And it was a recipe for disaster in this case as well. And so Joseph's brothers, obviously not the best examples, says they were wicked, and they did a lot of things that brought grief unto his father. We see, if you go to 34:25, that they slew a whole city because of their sister. And Jacob said that, you make me to stink amongst my neighbors. And I don't think Joseph was not involved there. I know it was two, I think it was Simeon and Levi that were kind of the instigators of that, of killing all those people. But And we can see that when Jacob confronted them, they were not repentant. So Joseph's brothers, like I said, were not good examples at all. And so, you know, you have the home, and you have this jealousy thing, and you have, I'm assuming, this constant bickering amongst the brothers, Joseph being shown favoritism, and it says that they hated him. It literally says they could not speak peaceably unto him. They loathed him. They couldn't stand the sight of him. Could not speak peaceably unto him. And that's kind of some background information. Okay, so let's go to 37, verse 18 to 36. Joseph being sold to the Ishmaelites. And I'm not going to take time to read all this, but we know, like I said, we probably all know the story. And, you know, Joseph, they thought they'd just get rid of him and kill him. And then Reuben heard of it and said, let's not kill him. Let's put him in a pit. And he thought to later pull him out and take him home, but they brought him out. Judah brought him out and said, hey, let's not slay our brother. Let's sell him to the Ishmaelites. And they hooked up this plan, and he got sold to the Ishmaelites. His life was spared, but he was sold and never expected to see his family again. All right, so before we get into that, I want to mention something here about Dinah. And this is applicable across both aisles, sides of the aisle here, I think. It says there in chapter 34, that in verse 1, that she was the daughter of Leah, which she bore unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. I guess the point I want to bring out here to each one of our young people here is choose your friends wisely. You know, I don't know. I'm not going to stand here and say Dinah was at fault, but you know, it appears like she was the only daughter, if I'm not mistaken, in this large family, and it could be she was craving some female companionship, and she didn't have a lot of choices, maybe. But young people, choose your friends wisely. We see we got Dinah into, it got her into a little bit of trouble, and when she went out to see the daughters of the land, I get a picture of someone that was maybe looking for friends in the wrong places. So pick your friends wisely. Surround yourself with godly friends. Also, another thing I'd like to point out about Joseph's home life here is it was less than ideal. And I don't know if there's anyone here that's in a less than ideal home. I hope not. And I know there's probably some here that are maybe grew up in a less than ideal home. But as we go through this study of Joseph and his life and how that God continued to use him, the point I'd like to make is no matter what your background is, no matter your home life, no matter your situation, don't let that impact the rest of your life. Now, if you were born in a godly home, yes, let that be a godly impact. But if you were born in a home that was less than ideal, don't let that affect the rest of your life. All right, Genesis 37, verse 36. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. I don't know, you know, backing up a little bit on Joseph, I didn't find it in the Bible, but it says in some Bible story books that we have, it would give the thought that Joseph wept for a while, and finally he decided to buckle up and quit feeling sorry for himself. I don't know if that's the case or not, but I can't believe that it didn't affect Joseph's emotional state, at least for a little while. And, you know, Joseph was human just like we are, and I can't believe that this didn't have a traumatic dramatic, traumatizing effect on his life. But if you go to 39 there, go to Genesis 39, it talks there about Joseph, like I said, brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Verse 4, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and served him, and made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. And it came to pass from that time, from the time that he made him overseer in his house, and for all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. So now it seems, if you're looking at this, if you don't read any further, it seems like Joseph was on his way. It looked like he came through that test, and God was starting to move him up, because he was, we would call this his master. I would call him, he's a connected man. This man had connections. He was an officer of Pharaoh. He was captain of the guard, and he was a high up. And we think of Joseph's trials and how that, regardless of the fact that he was mistreated as a youth and was sold, he'd gone through some tests. And in my viewpoint, it's like Joseph is now ready to move forward in his role as an adult. But then we see God putting him through another test. We know the story. Potiphar's wife tempted him, and he was falsely accused and thrown into prison. And in 39:21, we see that God was still with Joseph. Joseph's attitude obviously stayed positive. He was still under God's mercy. So let's remember, amidst our darkest days, God will still be with us, youth, adult, old, whatever. Amidst our darkest days, God will be with us. So as we look at these trials that Joseph was beginning to go through here, what was God's purpose in this? Did God forget about Joseph and just allow these things to just happen? I believe God was using these trials to shape Joseph into the leader that he needed to be later in his life. And that's kind of where I want to pause and maybe speak to the youth a little bit. I don't know what you're going through. I have no idea what you're going through. But maybe there's been a period in your life, or maybe it's in a time now where you feel like life isn't fair, or things happen that life maybe isn't fair. And you question why. Well, maybe God's trying to shape your character. Maybe God's trying to shape you for a future role in leadership that you really have no idea about. And the other thing I thought to mention here to parents, we talked about our home life. And obviously we as parents are responsible for that. But we're also responsible for helping our children along life's way. And I don't really know what kind of decisions Joseph had to make in his young life, but somewhere he got conviction. Somewhere Joseph developed a conviction in his life that stuck with him and helped him through these hard times. And I wonder sometimes, and I just want to mention here, I don't want to be one of these people that don't have old children, but yet have all the answers. I've seen some of that happen in my life, and it usually doesn't turn out well. But I just want to, I guess, make some observations. parents, we have to a certain extent. And bear with me here. Don't take me wrong, but we have to allow our children to make some of their own decisions in life, and allow them to build conviction, I guess is where I'm going with that. You know, we've heard the term helicopter parents, and it's usually referred to people with very young children, where they're helicopter parents, where they're just hovering, and they just hover and the children are so protected that it's, you know, that God forbid they hurt themselves or whatever. You know, once our children become a little bit older, I think in order for them to build conviction, they're going to have to be allowed to make some decisions in their life. And pounding into our children growing up that you do this because I'm watching you, or you do this because the church says, because the standard says to do it, does not build conviction. And like I said, Joseph, somewhere in Joseph's life, he built conviction. And it went with him for the rest of his life. So allow our youth to make decisions and build conviction. And, you know, thinking of the tests that Joseph faced here, you know, when God tests us, when God allows things to happen in our life, you know, our response, ultimately, that the result of that testing hinges on our response to the trials and tests. You know, maybe you're going through a tough time right now, and maybe there's lots of things happening you don't have all the answers for, but you know, God has promised, as you claim the blood of Christ upon your life and claim his promises, that he will be there for you. You know, I just think this example of Joseph is so powerful because, you know, you think Joseph, you know, he was sold, he's faced all these tests and trials, and he gets to the land of Egypt and he gets thrown into prison. And, you know, the humanistic response is, well, is it worth it? You know, is it worth standing on the principles that I've been taught? Let's not forget, we serve the same God today that Joseph served all those years ago. And God did not forsake Joseph. So we see Joseph here in prison, and his master, and I don't know, I've read some things like, you know, why did Joseph not just, obviously God's hand, but I really don't think his master believed his wife 100%, because most likely Joseph would have been killed if his master would have, you know, at all believed that he did what he was accused of. Like I said, we have to see God's hand in this, and he took him into prison, and 21, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor. You know, what's so powerful about Joseph, no matter where he was placed in his life, he prospered. And he didn't just sit back and feel sorry for himself. He put his shoulder to the wheel and did what was expected and more. It says there in verse 23, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Like I said, we serve the same God that Joseph served all those years ago. Reminds me of a story of a little girl who was sitting in her grandfather's lap while he was reading her story. And she would look up at his face and would reach up and feel his wrinkled old face, and then she'd feel her own soft cheeks. And she did that a couple times. And finally, her grandfather asked her, what's the deal? And she said, well, did God make you? He said, yes, he did, many, many years ago. And then she's like, well, did God make me? And he said, yes, dear, he made you as well. So she reached up and touched his wrinkled old face again, and reached down and touched her soft cheeks. And she said, God's getting better at it, isn't he? The point I'd like to make is God has given us actually more than Joseph had. We have the Holy Spirit. We've got more power, if you want to call it that way, than Joseph had. Now, I would say the Spirit of God was definitely in Joseph, but we have the Holy Spirit constantly with us. We have a power that was not available to the Old Testament saints. So God has definitely given us an advantage. All right, moving on here. So in Genesis 40, verses 14 and 15, Joseph makes a request. And he said, you know, it talks about the chief butler and the baker and how that they had a dream and Joseph interpreted. And Joseph asked to be remembered. Well, chief butler, one of them forgot. You know, he was restored and forgot all about it and remembered it. I think it was 2 or 3 years later. He remembered it. And, it says in the end, at 41, it says, it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river, and he had this dream. But yet, Joseph, 2 years went by, still faithful. He's not giving up. You know, his character, his conviction shines through. And in 41:9-13, finally the chief butler remembered Joseph. He said, I do remember my faults this day. You know, he talked about, he remembered how Pharaoh was, and somebody interpreted, you know, this Hebrew 12, it says, it was with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to his dream, he'd interpret. And so Joseph was brought before Pharaoh. And Joseph, like I said, did not turn bitter. And was before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I've heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And the point I'd like to bring out here is that no matter what praise was directed toward Joseph, he always deflected it towards God. He recognized the sovereignty of God in his life. And he recognized that without God, he would have never got where he was. And so he interpreted the dream. And Pharaoh made him the captain, or made him overseer. So let's think about that for a minute. He came to Egypt as a slave. He was probably around 30 years old. In 13 years, he went from an imprisoned foreign slave to the second most powerful man in the known world at that time. He spent how many years in prison? Quite a few years in prison. And now, he went throughout the land of Egypt, the second most powerful man in the world at that time. You know, thinking of the humanistic side of it, that would have destroyed a lot of people, all that power. You go from prison to the second most powerful man of the land. You know, we've heard the phrase power corrupts. And I think that would have destroyed a lot of people, but Joseph's conviction and Joseph's character was not based on what was happening around him. It was based upon God's word. It was based upon God and upon principle, not by what was popular opinion or convenient. So that's the point I'd like to make to our young people. Don't let your convictions be swayed by popular opinion, by what's easier at the time. You know, maybe you've thought about compromising on some issues that you know you shouldn't. Maybe you've thought, well, it doesn't matter that much. It doesn't matter that whatever you're facing, you know, who's going to know it? Who's going to find out? And does it matter? Well, I'd like you to remember Joseph. Remember that Joseph, the reason he was able to stand in the time of temptation and stand when he had all that power was because he made that conviction a part of his life before all this stuff happened. And Joseph always, I think that's one of the keys about Joseph, is that he always pointed to God when things were going tough, when things were, when he was praised for interpreting his dream. He always deflected and spoke about God. Verse 25, there again, Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dream of Joseph is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do." And he repeated that numerous times there. In verse 28, he said it again. And if we go to 41, 50 through 52. Now, Joseph was born, were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. So God was blessing Joseph. Joseph had stood the test. Joseph had come through with shining colors, as we like to say, and God was blessing him. Genesis 42 through 44, it talks there about Joseph and his brothers, Joseph revealing himself to his brothers. And we see Joseph again, his character shining through. Now this here was Joseph's chance. He was the second most powerful man in the land, and here were his brothers who had wronged him. And this was his chance. This is what a lot of people would have taken the opportunity to mete out vengeance. But we see Joseph's character shining through again. And we see, I think the key to Joseph, if you really want to, if you find one verse to really hammer home this point, and the reason that Joseph could be faithful, and the reason that Joseph didn't compromise, and the reason that Joseph stood on his conviction, could probably be summed up in verse 8, and his attitude about this whole situation. It says in 45 verse 8, "So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and the Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." So now it was not you. He was talking to his brothers here, that sent me. It was God. And Joseph recognized the sovereignty of God in his life. So young people, do you recognize the sovereignty of God in your life? And, you know, when things, maybe your relationships go south, and you'd rather just write that person off and not give them the benefit of the doubt, or not give them a second chance. I encourage you to remember Joseph and to realize that Joseph was hurt far above and beyond that will ever be hurt, I'm sure, and was mistreated like no one else before. But yet somehow he maintained his attitude of God being in control of his life. And he recognized that it was God that sent him to Egypt. And we know, as talking to young people, but we know as older Christians, sometimes life happens, and church life gets messy sometimes. But can we as well stand on our convictions and mend relationships and not take vengeance when we have an opportunity, not spread gossip, not spread that tale that puts our enemy or our the people that we feel have wronged us in a bad light. Let's have the character of Joseph. All right, in closing, your life has an impact, young people, and there's people watching. There's younger ones coming on. You know, I didn't really like to hear that because it was usually after I did something I wasn't supposed to. But I want to spin this in a positive way. You know, your life has an impact. I don't care if you're 12, 14, 16, 18, whatever it is. There's always someone younger looking up to you. And so don't forget that your life has an impact. Your example carries weight. And in your home, in the church, in school, wherever you find yourself. And, you know, as we go through life and as we get older, I remember sitting right there where you boys are at, and the preacher saying about being 40s in his 40s, and I'm like, well, I'm never going to get there. I mean, it seemed like so far out in the future. And 2 years later, it feels like 2 years later, I'm 43 years old. And how that happened, I have no idea. You know, I'm pretty good at math, but somehow that didn't add up. But it happened so fast. So how are we doing in that area? And I just want to encourage each one of our young people tonight that when you face some of these tests in life that makes you resent your friend or your church family, or, I mean, you put in there whatever, just remember Joseph. Remember his example of faithfulness, that his life was governed by his conviction that he had learned at some point in his young life. And it didn't matter, it seems like it didn't matter what happened around him. He simply zeroed in on God and he kept his focus on God. So when God tests you, young people, or even us as adults, he allows trials in our lives. Let's use that to strengthen our spiritual life. Because he's not doing that to just for the fun of it, if you will. He's doing it to shape us, to prepare us for leadership, prepare us for whatever is coming later in life. And in closing, I'd like just to say that, you know, maybe I'd like to repeat, maybe you're going through a tough time. I don't know if you are or not. I hope you're not. But maybe you are. Maybe you're thinking about, maybe you're weighing the cost. Is it worth it? Is the Christian life really worth it? Well, the devil would like you to believe that it's not. But the devil would also like to lure you with things that are not true, like, you know, the pleasures of the world that look so appealing. You know, if you stay faithful, I trust we can have the example that Joseph left with his brothers. And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me. God meant it to good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." I'd like for you to remember that phrase, that if it's, maybe you're going through a tough time, but hopefully you've been through that time, hopefully you're looking back at it, and you can say like Joseph did, "God meant it unto me for good," and may you build upon that. And I just want to encourage each one of our young people to build conviction and stand on it. Build conviction on the Word of God and stand on it so that you can have the testimony that Joseph did at the end of his life, where he was gathered to his people. Let's kneel for prayer.